Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I won't let my body outweigh everything that I'm made of. Won't spend my life trying to change. I'm learning to love who I am. I am strong, I feel free. I know every part of me is beautiful. And I will always outweigh. If you feel it, put your hands in the air. Show some love to the mirror while you're there. Let's take it one day at a time, 'cause you and I outweigh.
Happy Saturday, Outweigh fam. Amy here, and my guest today is Patrick Custer, and he is on to talk about, well, a little bit of your own journey, Patrick, but then what you're doing to help others that are in recovery, or maybe even just struggling and wondering, what does this process of recovery even look like? Is there help out there? Am I alone? Because I feel like that's one of the most daunting things when you are going through something. For me in particular, with my eating disorder, some of the thoughts and actions that would take place in my mind and then that I would do, I'd think, oh my gosh, I can't ever tell anybody about this. This is crazy. Am I the only one? So Patrick's here to remind us we are not alone.
Oh my gosh, you just hit, you know, so many things, you know, talking about shame and guilt being such strong drivers for us from such a young age, both societally and I think naturally, it is there. And whether, you know, I know a little bit about your story, and I'll compare and contrast. For me, I know I ended up needing and getting, like, addressing seriously at an early age my medicators. And so quickly, to just kind of try and put it in a nutshell, I look back as a child. I grew up in a Southern family where everything, you know, food is everything. Everything surrounds food, wedding, you know, we all get it, right? I was in sports. I was active. I never really thought about food. I mean, other than, like, I liked it and I ate it and nothing was, you know, I didn't correlate to my body. And then I started to hit something weird in puberty and I got chubby. I remember just the shame and guilt that fell all over me, both internally, but from social reinforcement. So at this time, I'm a gay man. I wasn't out then, raised in a super conservative family. So at the time, I'm trying to fit into this mold, what I think I'm supposed to be, which is like a super masculine, manly man, play sports. And so my story is very interesting to talk about body image, body dysmorphia from an early age, where this is the role that I was felt like I was dealt, and this is what I was trying to play, right? So from a very early on, I didn't know, like, I battled overeating and body image issues at that point. Then came along, I don't even remember what introduced to me, but like overexercise and then dieting. So these were my earliest medicators: food, then exercise, then restricting. And it wasn't until I went to college that I really got exposed to some more extreme measures. Drugs and alcohol played a huge role. And ultimately, I had to seek help for all of it. because at the end of the day, I was trying to control how my body looked, how I felt, the peace within myself. You know, a lot of us in 12-step programming, which I am actively, you know, we refer to it as the ism, you know, like it's not just one thing. And for me, it has been just like a bounce around of, you name it, all kinds of things, medicating behaviors. And so, you know, when it comes to sobriety from addiction, from chemical addiction, alcohol and drugs, I've been sober this February will be 12 years.
That's awesome. I want to stop and acknowledge that because that's amazing. A good friend of mine just celebrated 12 years a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, she was like, it's my sober birthday.
Heck yeah, it is exciting. And it's interesting how those birthdays end up being less about me and more about other people and showing the way. Like, you know, the longer and longer I'm fortunate enough to, you know, hold on to, you know, sober time and stay healthy.
Well, that's part of recovery anyways, using your story and then also being in a 12-step program, having, you know, your sponsor mm-hmm. and then sponsees, or that's how you say it, right? Too the other way, sponsors
yep,
and sponsors.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're motivated, you're out there, you're serving others. I feel like service is a big part of that, taking it off of you and onto other people. And I remember my yes. mom telling me that early on in college when I was really struggling with my eating disorder. And she said, could you just go volunteer somewhere or do something? I mean, that was her way of saying that to me. It didn't register, of course, at the time, but she was onto something. She was trying to get my brain to stop focusing on some of my things and focus on someone else to shift. And obviously, if you do that enough, it does help rewire the brain. But I love yeah. that you're talking about making it about others, because that is part of the journey in staying in recovery.
Oh, 100%. And I'll stop here and say, no matter what you identify that you're recovering from one thing, or you might need to recover from something, you know, everybody's got a different journey, different thing that they're recovering from, and different healing experiences, and different things work for different people. But there are a lot of commonalities. One of them is connection. We know that, I'm going to try and get his name right, the person who coined this phrase, Johan, I forget his last name. He was the initial person that talked about connection being the opposite of addiction or self-medication and suffering. And we see that across the board, right? And through that and under that umbrella is the connection of getting outside of ourselves through serving other people, saying that, you know, I'm part of you, you're part of me, and, you know, taking the focus off of myself. So I will say that, you know, the eating stuff for me has, and as I think you know, actually, no matter what you're talking about, I mean, like, it's very black and white with them. Addiction, because I don't drink at all anymore, but we have to eat when we talk about process addictions. So, you know, eating disorder is a process, or eating is a process, and the addiction is whatever surrounding that process. And for me, there was a lot of ortho, over-exercising, under-intake, they're just complete restricting altogether. And I have to be careful every day to not fall into that trap, because it's really, really easy, as I'm sure you know as well.
Yeah. And that's a good reminder for anybody listening that if you've made strides and you take a step back, it's such a good point that we can't eliminate food from our lives. You can try to remove yourself from alcohol and drugs by who you're surrounding yourself with, what you allow in your home, but food has to be allowed in the home. So yeah, that was something that was, you know, difficult. You couldn't just be like, okay, well, I just won't have this. In fact, for me in recovery, I had to invite more food into my home. Mm-hmm. I had to start allowing more things that I used to not allow. And Patrick, in regards to your service to others, something that I want you to tell people about is the podcast that you're yeah. running, because I feel like that's another resource that people can check out. And if they're wondering, like, do I have something going on? I have these thoughts. What is orthorexia? Some of this stuff is new to people, this vocabulary, or other addictions, because oftentimes it may not just be one thing that you're using to numb out, like you said, the medicators. And I feel like your podcast would be an excellent resource for people. So tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, you can check out our website. It's rootedrecoverystories.com. That's rooted. Like, we talk about keeping people rooted in recovery. And it's got kind of a unique story. We started out, I work for Promises Behavioral Health. We own treatment centers across the country for mental health, addiction, sex addiction, eating disorders. We treat all the things at our various treatment centers. And I have the privilege of getting to oversee all of our aftercare programming. So lifelong, we support our alumni afterwards when they go out and have to hit the real world and they're outside of the safe container that they've gotten the help they need in. I myself have experienced that. That's what helped get me on the track to health and safety. And, you know, long-term engagement, meaning like to resources that are connecting us, are serving the walk that we want to do, you know, whatever you're talking about recovering from, we believe is the key to success. So this podcast came out from that as my life's kind of passion project, but it's a mission thing to serve the whole entire community. You don't have to be an alumni. And we talk about recovery from all types of adversity. And I say adversity because it's a very umbrella term that encompasses trauma, the full spectrum of mental health issues, parents of children who've overdosed, people who literally have experienced recovery overdose themselves. All the things that I named, we interview and talk about stories, what it was like for these people and the resources that are available to help them. So I think that there can't be enough hope out there. We've got all kinds of things to entertain us and binge. When we talk about binging, oh my gosh, what a trigger word and a key, you know, thing that we talk about right now. But like Netflix, TV, we consume so much to just entertain ourselves. This is an outlet that we really put so much heart and soul into providing that is something to feed the soul.
Oh, I love that. Feeding the soul. I know you gave the website, but if they're just in their podcast browser,
we're on everything. So you can watch it or stream it like via the regular podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, YouTube. Just search Rooted Recovery Stories and you'll find us.
And I love that name, Rooted Recovery Stories. It's so good. Yeah. Well, Patrick, thank you for sharing some of your story and then the message of connection and service and the reminder of hope, because I think that's what we all need, because sometimes it can just, you just feel so overwhelmed by everything and you're like, oh, okay. And then you see it working for other people. And instead of saying, oh, I wish that could work for me, see those other people's recovery as hope and encouragement to you, not discouragement because you're not there yet. Don't let those thoughts go into your head. If there's one thing I could say, it's just if people come into your path, don't let their recovery annoy you because you're not there yet. Be like, oh, wow. Thank you, God, for showing me that person that's in recovery.
Absolutely.
Because I know what it's like to be jealous of someone that's in recovery and you just wish you could be there, but you know.
Right, because we all want instant gratification. I wanted instant gratification when I was living in my sickness, and I want instant gratification when I'm seeking healing. But I wanted to add something that I feel like is so important. There aren't enough men that are out there talking about their history or struggle with eating disorders. And I don't know if you would be surprised at this, but many people would be so surprised that it is a legit real thing, whether you're gay, straight, trans, whatever. It affects everyone. It's no respecter of persons. And the compare and contrast for me, when I was talking about earlier, you know, I grew up and wasn't living myself, tried living as a straight man for a long time in a more masculine presence that was, you know, hiding things and doing sports and whatever. That body type for me was way different. And then I, you know, move into my 20s and I'll just tell you, the gay male world, you're either very, very thin or super muscular. Like those are two of the most idolized body types. And I didn't know how to go to the zero body fat, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Channing Tatum, whatever realm. And so what was easiest for me was to slide into that real thin category. So I just want to say that, like, if you are a male, you know, a cis male, a trans male, it doesn't matter, and you're hearing this, don't let societal norms tell you that, oh, I'm just being healthy or going to 2-a-day gym trips. You know, I'm just following, you know, whatever from Men's Health magazine. You know, this is totally different from what Amy's talking about and all that jazz. It hits all of us and it's real.
Yeah, no, it's disguised. Like when I used for a long time, orthorexia for sure under the guise of, well, I'm having fertility issues and I read this one book that told me that if I eat this exact way that I'll be able to get pregnant. But really, I mean, yes, did I want to get pregnant? Absolutely. But did I love having eating that way as an excuse to tell myself? Because I knew some of my behaviors weren't normal, but I was like, well, that's okay. That's what this book told me that I needed for my fertility issues. And when I would be out with friends, they'd be like, oh, you don't want this or you don't want to eat this. I would be like, oh, well, I'm trying to get pregnant. And then that would shut everybody down. And you might be like, oh, I saw this in Men's Health. Oh, well, that's okay. No problem. It must be approved and totally good for you. So thank you for sharing that as well. And yeah, rooted recovery stories.
That's it.
Love it, Patrick. Well, thank you. And yeah, we'll have to have you back on again.
Love it. Thank you so much, Amy.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.